I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Drew Hendrickson, who is shareholder and practice leader of cybersecurity at consulting firm LBMC, and John Hilton, who is the AI consulting practice leader at LBMC. We're going to be discussing whether so-called artificial intelligence fatigue is beginning to settle in at many organizations and how that might translate into increased cyber risk, especially for the healthcare sector. So, for starters, please describe what you mean by AI fatigue. John, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. I think what we're seeing right now is that AI is so prevalent in the news, in the workplace. Even your friends are talking about it. You go home and your wife or spouse may be talking about it. And so it's everywhere. And so as a leader, and as a corporate leader, you might be facing this challenge of what do I do with this? And to compound that, there's expectations either from those that you report to or those that are reporting to you or just part of your team to do something about it. While at the same time, there's all kinds of concerns and risks that are out there, which Drew knows well in his cybersecurity practice. And then you have vendors knocking on doors constantly saying, "This is the next greatest tool in the world. Come buy my tool." And then meanwhile, all the big Googles and Microsofts and OpenAI are out there pushing new products. And so what do you do with it? How do you stay ahead but carry risk and address risk at the same time? And that's what I would say is really happening to a lot of leaders, and they're really being inundated with it. And so the question is, how do you act in this area and in the environment that we're in?
Drew, how are you seeing AI fatigue manifesting its way that could affect cybersecurity from your perspective and also in the healthcare sector?
So it is similar to what John just said. There's a ton of cybersecurity tools out there that help companies manage and monitor their network, all the way down to security compliance and making sure those organizations, especially those in healthcare, because they are highly regulated, are complying with different security protocols. And every, vendor is spinning up their AI service offering, and then you have a lot of new vendors that have popped up offering AI services. So it can really overwhelm teams. It can overwhelm leadership. And it's really important for those leaders to pick their partner, make sure they trust that partner, especially if they've got a long-term working relationship with them, to work through what those blind spots might be specific to security risk and AI.
So, John, how is AI fatigue creating blind spots in clinical and patient safety systems? And, what kinds of blind spots are we talking about?
That's a great question. In the base case, what you're seeing is, aside from new products, the products that you have used for years in the healthcare sector are starting to adopt AI and make that part of their core offering or new features. And so now, software before or a platform that before I had fully vetted from a cybersecurity standpoint now have these new AI capabilities. And to be fair to them, they're being pushed to innovate and to stay relevant. And so now you have not only the AI that you're looking to innovate on inside of your organization from new vendors or from in-house tools, but you have your existing vendors and existing platforms that are adding AI capabilities. And so, how do you really address that and know that has that been fully vetted? Have I done my typical due diligence around what are they doing with AI? How did they create these models? What vendors, what large language models are they using? And what's happening is the blind spots could be that I have not gone through this typical due diligence that I would have on this type of technology or software previously, or maybe I had done it before, but now I have to do it again. And so, what Drew and I talk about is that doesn't change the nature of by doing your due diligence like you always have. Yes, there's more of it out there, but you have to start to systematically go through your existing vendors, your existing platforms, and assess when they have AI, are they notifying me? And if so, what's my process by which I'm going to evaluate this to see what my risks are and how they've addressed and mitigated those risks, much like you've always done. And so that's what Drew and I talk about is this is a lot of the practices you would normally do. You are facing the fatigue of it's coming at you so frequently. And so again, we talk about going back to your basics. Who's your partner in this? Who are the organizations in your team that you're going to trust to go through this? Just because there's a high volume of this doesn't necessarily mean that I forget my due diligence, but actually create a program of governance and cybersecurity around these spots as well.
So, Drew, how do you see AI fatigue impact the human element in cyber defense? Do you think that, perhaps, cyber professionals might become too reliant on AI and, perhaps be, losing some of the accuracy that maybe the AI is not so good at? Or where do you see this all kind of coming together?
Yeah, one specific area in cyber defense is monitoring a company's network. And a lot of new products and existing products have built these AI features into their tool sets, and they tend to produce an overwhelming volume of alerts if it's not fine-tuned to the organization. And that leads to a lot of false positives. And when you're getting a lot of false positives, the human in the loop that's monitoring those is going to experience AI fatigue and exhaustion. And that's going to lead to inefficiencies in identifying what are real vulnerabilities or threats to the organization. And that could include critical alerts, something that, is a significant breach to the organization, which need to be dealt with. So that's one of the primary risks that we're seeing.
So now, John, you had brought up the level of risk involving third parties and supply chain systems. Where do you see AI fatigue sort of affecting that in terms of, cyber risk and other risk?
Yeah, I think the with vendors and third parties, the biggest risk I see is number one, the volume of everyone has a new AI tool. I'm not talking about your existing vendors anymore. I'm talking about everybody on your doorstep, in your office, or knocking at your door, as well as your emails of I have a new AI tool, I have a new AI capability that's going to transform what you do. And feeling as a leader that I need to go assess this. I need to go look at this. Someone needs to look at this in my organization. The first thing I say to that is every leader has a right to say, I don't have to listen to every vendor pitch that comes through the door. Maybe I have a way which I'm going to filter these or look at my partner, in that I've partnered with on cybersecurity and AI to help me sift through some of that. So that's a number one part of the fatigue. And the next part of it is understanding their ecosystem or their technology that they are leveraging to bring these AI capabilities to you as a client. And what I mean by that is, have you as an organization really started to take a look at the new security standards that are out there, whether that being HITRUST or in the NIST framework that addresses AI? You may not have never had to do that in the past, but now it's time to ask those questions. What large language model are you using? Tell me how you're connecting to them. Are you using localized versions like a Llama, or are you using API connections into OpenAI, for instance? Not necessarily either of those are more or less secure, but I want to know that. I want to know where's my data going? Is my data going in to help train a bigger model, or even a local model that you're going to use across other clients? Maybe I have some risk there. And so going through some of these process, and then the biggest question I usually have is, are you using this on my patients or on my people? Meaning, am I using this to make decisions on my employees, or am I making decisions on my patients or my customers? Those are high risk areas, and I probably really need to get an understanding of how my data is being used in there and what type of decisions are being made on that data, so I don't have issues with bias, or I have might have some security gaps, and making sure I'm in compliance with regulation. And so some of that due diligence is just in the base case going to have to be there. It's just different because it's new and you have to address it in a different way that you had in the past.
And Drew, how can entities detect and address AI fatigue in their security teams and their leadership? How can they tell if there's something there that needs to be addressed?
One thing is appropriate training within the AI systems that the company's either implemented or partnered with other vendors on, training around what to be looking for. If it is around monitoring a company's network, really working with that vendor to fine-tune that to your organization. And I always like to talk about the healthy skepticism, right? I'm where the CPA and audit world meets cybersecurity. That's what I do day to day, and having a healthy amount of skepticism is always good with this kind of thing. The other, I almost look at it more just around company culture. Things that companies might talk about anyway, but employee wellness and stress management, having open communication, regular breaks, balancing their workload, making sure they're appropriately staffed. These kind of things are going to help anybody with any type of fatigue, but specifically if they're getting overwhelmed with any type of AI fatigue, that's going to be something that will benefit them too.
And finally, each of you provide at least one suggestion on what you think healthcare CISOs should do to help counter AI fatigue in their organizations, the healthcare CISOs themselves. What can they be doing to help? John, do you want to start?
I think it goes back to the basics of how you have run your business in the past. If you were facing fatigue, perhaps what we've talked about a lot is partnerships. We talked about, both Drew and I, LBMC, we're here with an AI organization as well as a cybersecurity organization. So we want to be able to address our clients and say, there's a way that you can move forward with AI and not over-index on cybersecurity, and vice versa, not rush ahead in AI, but and over-index on that, but not address these risks. And so perhaps now's a time where I've asked this question of organizations: who is your AI expert that's sitting there with you as you're making these AI decisions? Who is your cybersecurity expert with a strong background with AI and understanding what's happening with AI to help you on this journey? And it's okay to say, we really don't have a lot of that capability in-house. We do need some support here. We do need, in a fatigued AI world, be able to help really sift through all of these concerns, sift through being able to do our due diligence like we usually do in our typical cybersecurity practices. We do need to be able to understand which AI vendors we want to go with or perhaps not go with, or what our future and our strategy and our roadmap is. And that alone, I think, will help bridge the gap as you upskill your people on AI and their understanding of AI, while not falling behind and lagging behind what is likely needed to happen to adopt AI to remain relevant and to keep a competitive advantage in the current market.
And Drew, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, so I mentioned healthy skepticism, but I mentioned that with a tone of still embracing AI. It can and should augment security teams. There's a lot of different innovative products that are doing a really good job in this space, and companies continue to innovate, but they should be reducing alert volume. They should be improving the quality of compliance within the healthcare and other industries, as opposed to making it an overwhelming issue for the teams. A lot of security companies offer AI product offerings without truly being an AI company. They don't have true data scientists. They're just bolting on to another AI offering and trying to offer an easy button. And we all like easy buttons, right? But a lot of times in complex security environments, the easy button is not what is going to work. That's going to lead to inefficiencies in identifying true vulnerabilities to your organization. And so avoiding that easy button, but embracing AI and thinking through the risks that are specific to your organization as well as your vendors. When your vendors add an AI service offering to what they're partnering with you on, what have they done to ensure that they're approaching AI responsibly? Do they have ISO 42001, or if they have a SOC report, have they built AI controls and procedures within their SOC 2 report? HITRUST has an AI framework. NIST, John mentioned it, has an AI framework. So making sure your vendors are performing due diligence as well, because a lot of times vendors and third parties are where a lot of breaches occur.
Thank you so much, Drew and John. I've been speaking to John Hilton and Drew Hendrickson of LBMC. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.